Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon, and as we're getting going, we were into some gospel music and Christmas music, and we were having a good time. So, but now we're into this show, and I have three of the panelists that are in. The rest will be following up soon, and we just want to get started and say hello. I'm going to say hello to the first person who has never been first before. Hello, Jeremiah. How you doing, sir?
great as that. How was that? The first person. Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while. I think I have, but it's been a while. Hello to everyone.
I'm here. How's everybody doing?
And
great.
Hello, Don.
Hello, how you doing, David, and my devastating panelists of superstars.
There you go. That is so true. All right. We're here to get started with the show. I'd like to start off, with letting the panel bring in something. But there's something going on next week that I think it's important to kind of bring up first. So I want to throw this out there, and panelists are talking about this one, and I don't think the right panelists are in a lot right now. But next week, the House Republicans are preparing to formalize their impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. But the House votes this week as their investigation kind of reaches critical juncture while right-wing pressure flows for them to do it. To this point, House Republicans have not had enough votes to legitimize their election for the chamber votes. Now they think they do. So what are your thoughts on that, Michael? That, Republicans are trying to impeach the president?
Oh, thanks for calling on me first, David. Yeah, I think it's just a witch hunt. They're just trying to do that because Donald Trump got impeached, so they're just trying to return the favor to him and impeach his competition. I mean, Donald Trump is such a criminal that they can't defend him being a criminal, so they're going to try to pull his competition, Joe Biden, down to his level and try to make it like Joe Biden's a criminal. So that's all they're doing. It's a witch hunt. Although I must say, I'm not supporting Joe Biden this time. I'm actually going to support Nikki Haley. So I hope Joe Biden's not our president moving forward. But I think what the Republicans are doing is a waste of time, and it's just a witch hunt. That's all.
All right. What about you, Jeremiah?
I agree with Michael. I agree with Michael. I just think they're doing things just because, at this time it probably really has no merits. Just let him finish the term, and like Michael, I'm not probably supporting Joe Biden as well. So I don't have a number one candidate right now that I'm really supporting, but we need to move forward as America.
All right. Don, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with the other two speakers. You guys are right on time and spot on. However, I don't know if Joe Biden's going to be able to finish his nomination. He may pass the mantle to the governor of that great state of California.
Wow. All right. See, Mr. Solutions, what are your thoughts?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of background. Hello, gentlemen, David. Yeah, I think, those statements that I just heard, those previous statements, are very well unfounded and without information, I guess, of the latest findings. I think Congress found that there were over 20 shell companies and over $20 million that had been deposited, which Joe Biden controlled, and that was given for so-called pay to play. Look, there's a term, I believe it's referred to in psychology as projecting, and absolutely what Joe Biden is presiding over toward Trump, that is having him prosecuted, and that's just for the purpose of distraction, really. In most people's perspective, that is the reason Trump's poll numbers are going up. And so, in other words, it is Biden who should really be Biden is the one that is the criminal and that is running the criminal family with his son, Hunter. Again, I don't know if the gentlemen are cognizant of the fact that Hunter was just indicted. For I don't agree with a lot of the tax laws, of course, but since we have them, yeah, there someone should mute. There's a lot of background.
Yeah,
anyway, since we have the tax laws, they should be abided by, particularly by politicians. And his son is just a train wreck who has supported him. I think Joe Biden gives a hoot about nobody, including his family members. And I think he's showing clearly, as the investigation apparently is demonstrating, that he is a criminal. He has been engaged in criminal activity for years and years and years. And I think it is perfectly legitimate and long overdue that he be investigated and I hope he's found guilty in an impeachment, and based on the evidence, it appears that he is guilty of all sorts of high crimes. Anyway, those are just a few of my thoughts. Thank you.
All right. Also, former President Donald Trump says on social media that he is no longer planning to testify in his civil fraud trial in New York on Monday because he doesn't think he should even be there. What are your thoughts on that one? It's going both. Our presidential candidates are all in trouble right now. What do you think about that, Jeremiah?
That's horrible. And that's a testament to, like I said, we need to move forward. We need to move in a different direction because it's not acceptable in the community. Why should it be acceptable at the highest level?
Right. Don, what are your thoughts?
I mean, here's a guy that thinks he shouldn't even have to campaign for the election of his own party. He's taken his thinking way above everybody else. I'll tell you what, if we were indicted, anybody on this call were indicted, and we said what he said, we would be found guilty automatically. I can't even understand how that could come out of his mouth. We need to hear from him. And he needs to go through the due process as any red-blooded American would go through. I cannot understand that. And it just goes along with the statement of, will he be a dictator? Hell yeah, he's going to be a dictator. I mean, he learned how to play the game, and he learned how to play it real well. And the thing is, say what you got to say till I get to the finish line. And that's the way he's playing this.
All right. Michael, what are your thoughts? Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I was on mute. I apologize. Yeah, I agree with everything Don Wiggins just said, 100%. If any other red-blooded American had gotten indicted, we'd have to show up. He's just utilizing what we all know is his white privilege. That's all he's doing. He's playing his white privilege card. But I wanted to address one thing real quick, David. You mentioned that both of our presidents are in legal trouble. No, just Donald Trump's in legal trouble. Hunter Biden's in legal trouble. He's not the president. He's not the nominee. And I think that's kind of the problem of what the Republicans want. They want us to start saying, oh, yeah, both of these guys are in trouble criminally. No, they're not. One guy is in trouble criminally, and that's Donald J. Trump. I don't agree with Joe Biden. I don't like Joe Biden, but he hasn't been indicted like his son and Donald Trump has. And one last thing to you, Brother Wiggins. I really, really wish my man Gavin Newsom would run for president, but unfortunately it's too late. The time has passed. There's certain states he can't get on the ballot because he hasn't filled out the paperwork. So the thought of Gavin Newsom running for president is out. He's not going to be the presidential nominee.
Doggone it. And you know something, Michael? To go along with what you just said about Joe Biden's son, we all have one of those in our family.
Mhm.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And one last thing, real quick, guys. This really pissed me off about Joe Biden. He asked us to have sympathy for his son with his problems with drugs and things like that. He really asked us to be compassionate, saying his son struggled with drugs. But yet he locked up 2 million black men for having that exact same problem with drugs with the 94 crime bill. So that just really pissed me off when he got up on the microphone and said, please stand by, have compassion for my son. He's struggling with drugs. But yet you put away 2 million black men for crack cocaine with the 94 crime bill. So, yeah, Joe Biden can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. I'm not a fan of his at all.
And the only thing that the difference is he had more money than any of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, gentlemen. So let's move on. Who wants to bring something to the table they might want to talk about this week? You have something, Don? Mr. Wiggins?
No, David, I'd like to refrain for a while.
Okay. Michael, you have something you want to bring to the table?
Yeah, I want to talk about the war that's going on between Israel and Hamas and the Palestinian people. That's a big topic right now. Everybody's talking about it. You can't escape what's going on over there. Once again, the United Nations, many of the countries around the world requested a ceasefire, and they were going to get a ceasefire. But guess who stepped in and vetoed that ceasefire? Yours truly, Mr. Joe Biden. The United States vetoed a ceasefire, which means the United States told Israel, hey, keep killing all those innocent children and women. 14,000 innocent children and men and women have been killed since the start of this war. And they had a chance to stop the shooting, and Joe Biden stepped up and said, no, don't stop the shooting. Keep on shooting. So if you're going to charge Joe Biden with something, it should be a war crime. So, yeah, I would have wanted to throw that to the panel. What do you guys think about the United States vetoing the chance of there being a ceasefire in the war?
Yeah, Mr. Solutions, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, on both, well, the United States, of course, is a major arms dealer. So every time one of those munitions is exploded, someone makes a lot of money. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of it is routed to go to one of those shell companies controlled by Joe Biden. But my main concern was that with respect to New York and how Eric Adams, I think that's the mayor's name, Eric Adams, is ballyhooing and complaining about all those illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, I should say, have been shipped to his doorstep. First of all, I think he makes a very good salary. It's not impacting him. His sorry carcass should be bounced out of office Now, it's up to New Yorkers to do that, because I think he said it's $12 billion that has had to be spent on the illegals, and that is going to cut services of legitimate New Yorkers. And, of course, I've got to admire the ballsiness of those southern border states, Texas and Florida most notably, where they are shipping those illegals to New York and other sanctuary states. What he should be doing is repealing that sanctuary state status, which is a violation of immigration law, by the way, because that is intercepting people that are here illegally, you know, to the U.S. And now some of them stop in, you know, obviously in the, they stop in the southern states and they don't make it all the way to New York. But he should, Eric Adams, instead of cutting the services of New Yorkers, he should be shipping those illegals. He can't ship them out of the country. I think that would be a larger violation, but he can ship them to Washington, D.C., and let the Democrats choke on the problems that they have created. So I think that is a very, very serious issue. But I believe Chicago and also Los Angeles are also sanctuary states. And so I just think with Eric Adams specifically, he should stop putting on that charade and ship those people to D.C. and let D.C. deal with the problems.
All right.
Go ahead. Somebody should mute because noise keeps intruding in on the conversation. When you're not speaking, mute.
All right, I think we figured that one out. Okay, anybody have any points with that? Let's see who that was.
Yeah, if I may real quick, I agree with, rarely, well, I never do, but I agree with Mr. Solution on that, that number one, Eric Adams is doing a terrible job as well. And it's not the Democrats who want the illegals coming in. It's the Democratic leadership. So, Solution, Mr. Solution, you're right. All those illegal immigrants, they need to be shipped to Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood, which I live in California, and I've been to Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood. You can't get in there. It's a gated community. So all the rich Democrats who are okay with the open borders, it's not affecting them in their community because they're all millionaires that live behind gates. So you're right. They need to ship them somewhere. They need to ship them to the front doorstep of every Democrat who votes to make their town a sanctuary town. I live in Los Angeles, which is a sanctuary city, and I hate that. It's terrible to be a sanctuary city. You're just telling people it's okay to break the law. Come on in. We're going to take care of you. That's so counterintuitive. So rarely, but I agree with you on that, Mr. Solution. We're in agreement, brother.
And I live in the great state of Florida, and you're talking about illegal aliens. You should come to Florida. Everything has increased 30% to 40% year to year. Thousands of people come here on a daily basis. The housing industry, where the normal home was $300,000, has gone to $600,000 total. $1 million homes have gone to $2 million. It's crazy. Soup lines. People like you wouldn't believe are moving to Florida, and it's impacting our state. And a lot of them are illegal aliens. So, you should try Florida for a while.
That's a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, just one other thing on the illegals, David, if that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, illegals do not contribute to the overall economy, to the GDP, because they are a net subtractor. Because, number one, they don't earn enough money. Much of the money they earn, they send it back. and that should be taxed. Additionally, the services that they overburden the system with is a net loss. If you and then you think of their anchor babies, which allows the entire family to move in, that's a real violation of the 14th Amendment. And Trump was one of the people that was talking about really enforcing it so that babies born here would not of illegals would not be considered citizens. And I give you one example. The children of diplomats are not considered or they are not American citizens just because they're born here. Nor should illegals be, and that's a misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment, I believe. And, of course, like I say, the illegals being here are a net expenditure against the taxpaying citizens. They subtract. They don't add to. The few things that they purchase are tremendously overcome by all the goods and services that they consume. So they are, it's a net loss to a community for illegals to come in any significant numbers. I think they should get work permits to come and work and then, of course, go back home. I don't think they should be able to stay and live off of taxpayers. It's terrible.
Very well put.
Very well put, and that's very well put. And one more thing, the Republicans have a issue with using anytime we have a problem in our country, they always go, America's the greatest country. If not, why are these people dying to get over here? Why are so many people fighting to get over here? It's because we're the greatest country. Well, no, it's not true. They're fighting to get over here for the money so they can take the money and send it back to their country. They're not fighting to get here because they love America. They're fighting to get here for the money that we give out and the resources we give out to them. That's why they're fighting to get here. So I hate it when I hear the Republicans go, we're the greatest nation. That's why they're fighting to get here. No, we're just the dumbest nation that just gives out free resources. That's why they're fighting to get over here.
All right. Any more comments about this question, this argument right here? I got one of our listeners asking a question, and the question is, I noticed during these days everybody is watching football games, and I would like to ask the panelists, why is everyone into sports more than they are academics? Do you think that kids who are great with straight A's and school and stuff should be recognized as much as athletes? Is there a way to change it around so that sports become second best to our most intelligent young people? All right, whose thoughts on that? Who would like to address that one?
I'd like to address that myself.
Hey,
and while I'm on the man's voice, I'm watching football at the same time right now. You know why?
Wow.
It gives me peace. I have the sound down, but I can get some peace. And after going through COVID and going through the political charades that we've gone through the past 4 or 5 years, I need a break. I need a break. I need some peace.
Well, but what about kids in school who are earning all A's? Do you even know which school in your neighborhood or in Miami are the top three schools academically?
No, I don't, David. I really don't.
Do you know the top football sports schools in your district?
Yes, the Miami Dolphins are doing real well.
Oh, no, that's cool.
David, could I add to that?
Sure can.
So I think what's been an issue is it's not even like more of a normalized thing. I think that what that gentleman saying, or female or gentleman saying that the caller that wrote in is, they're trying to understand why our kids idolizing athletes, much so as if a child's idolizing Michael Jackson or Muhammad Ali, a boxer. What we've seen, and I think in addition to it is, them making it legal to bet on games. So since we are legally able to bet and make money on games, now we have, whether it's young adults, which shouldn't be, or adults, really understanding who the player is, how can he contribute to his team, how good he is. I think before this whole betting thing, people knew of athletes, but it's a bigger thing now because of betting on sports and the gains of betting on a game, or betting on just a athlete's performance, his ability to contribute to the league and to his team. Now, I can understand the caller's point of view, because you feel like the young adults are focusing more on NFL, NBA, or even maybe even idolizing these athletes, when they should be maybe idolizing the person in their community, their parents that have worked so hard to provide for them. I can understand that. A way to combat it, really don't know at this point. That's a big question, how to combat that. You know, education is important, but not everybody feels like education is their way to suffice in life, right? Some people, it might be a four-year degree. Some people, it might be a doctorate degree. And some people, it just might be high school or trade school. But there's the only way to combat that is everybody do their part, maybe in your household, because you can't control what another child's doing. You can't control anything but your family, your nieces and nephews, sons and daughters, and grandkids or whatever may have you. You can contribute on that level, but you really can't dictate someone else's household. But I think it's been a growing movement. It's not going to stop. And in addition to what Don said, sports is an outlet for a lot of people, even myself. Like, I'm probably bigger on college football than pro football. But, I'm in tune to what the team is doing, who are we acquisitioning to the team. It existed years ago, which we would call a sports fanatic. You would be a Miami Dolphin fanatic or a Detroit Lion fanatic, San Francisco 49er fanatic. Like, you would love your team, and you're very endowed to your team. So this isn't new to me. It's just that now people are understanding and learning the players, because that's a different avenue as of late. But I just wish not that we are probably putting sports before education, which is really important. And that's why, as a parent, you should easily dictate what your child's doing. Because if you let your child get consumed by sports at a very early age, that's a recipe for a disaster. I mean, you need sports. That's an outlet for a lot of kids. Whether you play it, you watch it, whether you know it or not, a lot of kids are in sports. I don't care if it's baseball, softball, soccer, all kinds of sports. But a lot of people, even men, love their kids, their boys, their little girls that play sports. But it's a matter of fact of a life balance. Just like social media has taken away the life balance for adults, and anything can do that to anybody, whether you're a child or an adult. But it's up to the parents to combat that in the right way and discover it, and if they realize it, you know, make some adjustments for your child, because you do understand better.
Don, what are your thoughts?
I think you summed it up very well, Jeremiah. You really did. And education should be the primary focus. However, I think that the sports teams have done an excellent job of marketing themselves and also marketing the players. The players individually have done a great job of marketing themselves to increase their revenue. Sports in general has really taken another level. You hear about the salaries of hundreds of millions of dollars, man. I mean, for an athlete to make $100 million, $200 million a year, come on, man. My God. Some people don't make $1 million in a lifetime. And so, you know, the dollar has dictated the lifestyle of many Americans. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And that seems to be the factor today.
Getting all kinds of comments floating in, Don, and they're asking, don't you think that the person who was a straight-A student for 12 years should make $1 million?
No doubt about it. And there's probably potential. There's probably a genius in that person. But the thing is, it's going to take a while to materialize. It's not going to happen overnight. And the thing is, I think that person that they're speaking of that's a straight-A student is really living in their purpose. You know, once you find out your purpose in life, you're able to really be a major asset to the world. I've always said that when you find your purpose, you'll never work another day in your life. And the most valuable assets are not in gold, diamonds, Fort Knox. The most valuable assets are in the graveyard. What I mean by that is people with tremendous gifts, straight-A students, that really never lived their true purpose. So to answer your question, David, yes, caller, that straight-A student should be making a lot of money. But the thing is, we've gotten distracted for the love of money.
Here we go. It says that this society markets sports, but it won't market education. And when's the last time you've seen a commercial about someone who was a genius or smart or a young professional in school that was making straight A's? You hear about the ones you hear about the ones playing sports, but you don't hear about the ones who are intellectual and intelligent. Shouldn't we? It is the society is the one making a difference. They do not market our intelligence. They only market sports. Wow.
Can I say something about that, David?
Yes.
It's what we call entertainment to me, because, for example, anything sexual is marketed the same way. And if you listen to music, you know, and entertainment, we have to remember this is entertainment. Whether we're talking about basketball, football, fans, oh, wow, that nice word. For example, OnlyFans, entertainment. You know, this is all entertainment. The thing is, this has been going on for years. And when it has plagued certain communities, that's a norm. But now it's probably plaguing other communities, that's an issue. Now, I think that that's not the NFL's responsibility, right? The NFL, they want you to, for example, go to the game, buy tickets, buy jerseys, we play football. Them having anything to market about education, that's not in their interest. You can't expect a beer company to tell you about soda. You can't expect they're not an educational facilitating company. There's nothing about education that deals with sports. If you say the college teams should, I could have an agreement to that. A certain percentage they should, because college teams are making a lot of money. You're there to get a degree. You're telling athletes, hey, have a good GPA to get into the best schools or whatever case may be if you're an athlete. But what that person is not understanding is they're not in that line of business. You can't expect a plumber to tell you about books. He's going to tell you about cleaning drains, unclogging clogs, driving around. He's going to tell you about the pipes. He's not going to tell you about education. So I don't know what can actually fix that problem, but yes, and it might become a growing problem.
Michael, what are your thoughts?
Okay, thanks for calling on me, David. Yeah, that's a good question. It's a good conversation. That is a problem to me. I hate the fact that, for example, I live here in Los Angeles, And everywhere you go in this town, there's a mural, a picture, a statue, a painting, or something of Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant. You can't go nowhere in this city without seeing those two guys' face, their image, their something, blah, blah, blah. But there's also a guy named James H. Garrett, who was a brilliant engineer who designed our airport, Los Angeles International Airport. He designed our major motels, our hotels here, the Beverly Hills Hotel. And he was a black man. But you never hear his name. You don't know anything about that guy. And in my opinion, he should have more murals and pictures and paintings up far more than Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant. Shout out to both of those guys. I love them both. But I don't like the way we put athletes on this high pedestal and expect people to just look up to them, and then we just ignore, deny, and just neglect teachers and educators and people who are far more important to our society, smart people, A-plus students who create medicines and all kind of stuff to make us a better society. We give them no credit. But we'll bow down for Steph Curry. We'll bow down for any athlete. And it's just capitalism. That's what it boils down to. Steph Curry can sell a whole lot of tennis shoes. Mr. Garrett, the architect, he can't sell a lot of tennis shoes. Magic Johnson can sell a lot of anything. That's why and anybody will listen, as dumb as Magic Johnson is, he's as dumb as a doorknob. But they'll listen to anything Magic Johnson says as opposed to this architect who was a genius, who built airports. Nobody's going to listen to that guy. So it's a societal problem, but it's also a capitalistic problem, David.
All right. Anyone else? Because I have some questions to you, Michael. A question came in. What would you do to fix it?
I would get away with capitalism. I'm anti-capitalism. I would totally just get away with capitalism and make it a socialistic society.
Oh, wow. All right. Anybody else got any thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Jim. Only thing I was going to say is real quick is my niece, she's 6 years old, and she came home talking about Messi and Rolando. I don't know if they're saying their names correctly. They're both soccer players. I want the jersey. They're amplifying this athlete at 6 years old. And she probably heard that from another child because I know she doesn't watch soccer. She heard that from another child, you know, and it's crazy. I want, you know, it's all about that athlete. I want the jersey, this, that, and he's amazing. Probably never saw a game or him perform, but guess what? When another child said he's amazing, he's freaking amazing. But it's affecting all ages, not just probably that straight-A student that's a teenager, but it's affecting our little kids as well.
You know something? You're absolutely right. They've done a great job of marketing sports. And the media has a strong effect upon our mental attitude, our public opinion. If some major company is listening to the man's voice, would start tomorrow and run a nice 60-second commercial saying, "We salute the academic genius of the day. That person is da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da." And the reason is because they ba-da-da, da-da-da, and run that every single day on every medium. We could change it.
That's a good idea, Mr. Wiggins, and that sounds wonderful. But those executives are listening to the man's voice on their yacht, in their mansions with their hookers, snorting cocaine and laughing at that suggestion, unfortunately.
Well, they don't call them hookers. They call them bunnies. Call them bunnies.
Okay.
We How do you call them call girls.
Hey, Jeremiah, we're glad you know that. But anyway. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? All right, so I have another question from the listeners based on our conversation. What is the one rule you live by? Why don't you answer that question, Jeremiah? What is the one rule you live by?
Honesty, and you can't get that much
You can't get that much nowadays. Honesty. I would love the truth, because I wouldn't say we. I would say this: people, as people, we play so many games. You would love honesty, whether it's your friend, your family member. I hate a liar. I you can lie yourself out of anything, but you can't be honest about anything. That's the most terrible thing. But I'll say honesty.
All right. Don, what is one rule you live by?
Well, you know something, David? I want to say character. And that's one word that I try to practice every single day. You know, and sometimes I fall short, David, but I'm working on my character every single day. And let me define character for those of you that don't know what I'm saying. Character is what you do when no one's looking. Character is what you do when no one's looking. And I try to work on it every single day. Some days I fall short, David, but I'm a work in progress.
All right. Mr. Solutions, would you want to answer the question, what is the one rule you live by?
Sure. I would say, yeah, it's recognition of the Creator, and I think so much emanates from or emerges from that alone. Recognition of the Creator.
That is not a rule.
Well, I think it is, because the Creator, recognition of the Creator, sort of, it puts everything else in perspective. It's kind of like Christ said, you know, love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And that was a summation of the Ten Commandments.
Right. Okay. Let's move on. Don,
answer that one, David? Can I answer that one? Can I answer that, David, what I live by?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to quote one of the greatest American poets of all time, Mr. Tupac Shakur, and that is, if you believe, you can achieve. That is a rule I live by and I will die by, and I stand by that. If you believe, you can achieve. I hate people that don't believe in anything and always wonder why they can't get forward in life. So my answer is, if you believe, you can achieve.
Okay.
Another word for that, Michael, is faith.
Hear, hear.
And faith, trust, and belief are synonyms.
I concur. I concur.
All right.
And the power of death and life is in the tongue. You have to speak it. You're absolutely right, Michael.
All right. Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to bring to the table at this time?
Well, let me bring this to the table.
Okay.
We got the holidays coming. Christmas. How many on this call are compelled to buy gifts for as many family members as they possibly can? How are you handling that?
What do you mean by handling? You mean financially or the type of gift, or what do you mean?
Financially.
Okay. All right. Mr. Solutions, you want to handle that one?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to answer something else I was perusing also. I'm sorry, please restate the question. Did he say, I'm sorry, sir, what did you say? How are we dealing with purchasing gifts over the holidays?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. All right. I'm definitely a proponent of capitalism. And I believe in having abundance. And I believe that one should know enough about the person. I don't believe in just buying useless gifts. But knowing something about what a person really wants and is going to use and purchase that within reason. And by the way, just on capitalism, capitalism has lifted more people out of poverty than any other system. And it's an economic system, which is normally coupled with the type of government we have, which is a representative democracy, juxtaposed to socialism, which is normally associated with a despotic or a dictatorship. So capitalism is the winner, hands down, especially in mass, for a large mass of people. I think we comprise about 335 million people right now. So capitalism is absolutely the best system. It's not a perfect system, but it's the best system in a large population of people to exploit the people that will put forth the labor in order to get the commensurate benefit.
All right.
That's subjective.
What do you mean?
Well, the results are objective, though. If we're looking at results, they are definitely objective, because the 20th and 21st century has seen a better condition for everybody across the board than any prior epochs.
All right. There are other questions coming in. Move this along. Please
respond to the question I asked earlier.
Go ahead, Don. Ask again.
Christmas is right around the corner, and a lot of people are buying gifts for friends, family members, etc. How are you handling that?
All right, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Mrs. Boozin. She's going to say something.
Okay. I've answered it. I've said find out what the people want, and if they're close enough to you, you should be able to know what they want, rather than just buying random, and I'm going to use this word, no disrespect, random junk. Purchase what one can afford, and I'm a distinct believer in not going into debt. Dave Ramsey talks about this in detail too, but do not go into debt. You know, be debt free, but purchase what one can afford and what the individual that you're purchasing it for will actually utilize. So I would say that is a principle that I follow.
And Mr. Wiggins, let me answer your question, brother. My solution to that problem is I'm not buying nobody nothing. That's my solution to the problem. Like I said, Christmas is just another extension of capitalism. It's just a reason for us to go out and spend money and make all these major corporations rich, richer than they already are. It's poor people spending money and making rich people richer. So I'm not buying them nothing for Christmas. So that's my answer to your question, Brother Wiggins.
Well, I'd like to add to that. I think that we're so materialistic now, it's hard to please anybody with a gift. And I'm talking straight to the person next to your wife, your brother, your sister. You know, it's, I would say a certain age range. You know, when you pass a certain age, I'm on the younger side, but we are so materialistic. I feel like a gift is like Thanksgiving. If something's for Christmas, that's like Thanksgiving. Oh, well, it's a turkey. Oh, well, it's a ham. You know, you're not having lobster and you're not having bluefin tuna or something like that. You don't have to have the most expensive diet for Thanksgiving. It's more about coming together. It's more about the occasion than actually what you're receiving. So that's like Michael said, it's pretty tough, and he's not going to buy any, you know, like, it's tough now. You can't even buy someone something according to your budget,
what you can afford because of your situation that's very unlikable by others, which is
crazy.
I think
that's a good, yeah.
Yeah, and that's
one of the reasons why. If one can afford it, buy it. If it's what the person wants, you know, I think when those two are combined, you have the best of both worlds.
You know, and
people
that's
are just so
why.
Ungrateful. People are so ungrateful these days, too. Sorry, Brother Wiggins. People are so ungrateful that I've seen situations where, me personally, where I broke my back to buy somebody a gift, and not even a week later, they were asking me to buy them something else. And when I told them I couldn't buy that something else, they called me all kind of four-letter words because I couldn't buy that something else. They didn't think about what I bought them for Christmas and how hard I had to struggle to buy that. So people are just so ungrateful these days, it makes you not want to buy them anything.
That wasn't a girlfriend, was it? Just kidding.
Well, Lucy's, I have an answer for you. If it was a girlfriend.
It was my wife on the side.
Oh, side piece.
Okay.
And you know that's one of the reasons why I asked that question, because I mean it's become so commercialized, man. I mean, Black Friday. We've already started pumping, buying gifts on Black Friday. That's the day after Thanksgiving. And then they put
Cyber
another
Monday.
One in there. Cyber Monday. They put that one in there. Hell, 10 years ago, we wasn't talking about no damn Cyber Monday. You know, they've commercialized spend money, capitalize. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, just
so
for clarification, 70% of the U.S. 70% of the U.S. economy is consumerism. So that's what drives the economy, consumerism.
So we've came to a realization today that we're really not promoting buying homes and education. We're really promoting materialistic buy. Like we said on the last show, alcoholism is at an all-time high, and especially coming off of that pandemic with COVID-19. So it's been crazy.
All right, gentlemen. Don't have that long to go, but I got lots of questions coming in to ask the panelists. And there are a couple here that I thought were very strange, but I want to hear the answers what you would come up with, and you might take a lot of thought on this one. This one is, if your life were a song, what would the title be? Oh, wow. Jeremiah.
Michael. No, Michael goes first. I want to hear what Michael has to say.
All right, Michael. Jeremiah wants to hear your song title.
He's still pondering. He's pondering. Michael.
He may be on mute.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Okay, Don, if your life were a song, what would the title be?
We're moving on up. Better days are coming. There was a group called The Impressions. It says, we're a winner.
Right. Okay, Mr. Solutions, if your life were a song, what would the title be?
Oh, that's an easy one. That's My Way.
I got to do things my way, all right?
Frank Sinatra, you go, brah. You go. You did it your way.
All right, Jeremiah.
I really can't think of anything. I would say something congratulating. So congratulations. Who's this guy named Post Malone? Just something inspirational, achieving, in a sense.
I think your title would be I Work Hard for the Money.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay, now is Michael still off, or did he come up with a title?
He let me down. You see, that I know what happened. The side chick was listening to the show, and she called him and she said, what did you say about me?
Buy me a mink, Michael.
Hey, when you find yourself digging a hole, one has to stop. That sounds like a hole to me.
I mean, just think, the man just went silent, man. First time I heard Michael just go silent after making a statement like that. Somebody must have hijacked his phone.
Might be.
Or don't forget, it could have been the wife, by the way. I think he said that was his side chick. But it could have been the wife. You never know.
He's married for sure. He was just talking crap, but I think it got him into something.
All right. Okay, so there are so many things that people are asking this panel. I'm looking at them and I'm going, well, there's no reason to ask you that. But for example, what is your favorite Olympic event? I guess when we were talking about sports. So the question is, what is your favorite Olympic event? Let's go through that. Jeremiah, what's your favorite Olympic event?
I would say probably something when the Miami Heat won their championship back with D-Wade and Shaquille O'Neal. I was quite younger. It was nice to see. I would say Miami Heat winning a championship. And probably something sooner if the Miami Dolphins can pull something off. We'll see.
Don, what is your favorite Olympic event?
My favorite Olympic event was when Usain Bolt out of Jamaica ran the 100-yard dash faster than any human being had ever run the 100-yard dash.
Wow.
That's a good one, Don. Good one, Don.
Solutions, what is your favorite Olympic event?
Yeah, I'm going to think it would be track and field. I mean, that would be the favorite. Are they talking about a particular one or just which one?
Just
track and field. I would recite cite, track and field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don.
I'm going to go with track and field, too. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Oh, you're
Michael.
Back.
Mike, where you been?
Mike, we missed you, brother. You okay?
Yeah, my phone dropped. I apologize. My phone dropped, and I had to call back.
Okay. So we gotta go back to that question. We got 2 minutes. David, go ahead. Fire off that question, if you remember.
Go ahead, Jeremiah. Yeah.
Okay. They're asking if you had to make a title of a song to make it.
Yeah.
Man, was it? Inspirational to you and to represent your life, what would it be?
Yeah, see, this is good because, see, Michael's in the business. What would be the song that would represent you, Michael?
Correct, yeah. If I had to create my own song or a song that's already popular and existing?
Already.
Existing.
It would be If I Ruled the World by Lauryn Hill and Nas.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Wing your hands, David.
And my favorite sporting event real quick was Florence Griffin joining the 1988 Seoul Olympics. May she rest in peace.
Right. My favorite would be, Don, what was the lady's name who was the first female to win the gold medal for boxing?
Female for boxing?
Yeah, she lives in Michigan. She was the first.
Clarissa Shields.
Clarissa Shields, that was my favorite, female boxing.
Man, right. You chose an awesome one, David. I knew the young lady when she was a snotty young lady walking the streets of Flint, Michigan in poverty. Her parents were alcoholics. Her dad had just gotten home from prison, and he said, I could have been a boxer. I could have been a boxing champion. And she caught that vision and said, don't worry, Daddy, I'm going to be a boxer in your name, and now is the world 5-time champion boxer, the greatest woman to ever put on a pair of gloves. Her name is Clarissa Shields from Flint, Michigan.
All right. We will be back again next week. It was a great show. Thank you, guys. We'll talk again next week. I think the show has already come to an end. We will talk again next week. Have a great week, everyone.